Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai. You're listening to the Nonprofit Snapcast. Just a quick bit of business. If you like what we do, we appreciate your reviews on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify or whatever it is you use to listen to our show. Those reviews make us a little more searchable and can increase our audience a little bit, which we really, really appreciate. Today on the line today, we're returning for another interview with Trace Kingham. Trace, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Excellent. I'm glad we could revisit and talk a little bit more about extra facets of event planning and looking at sustainability and things like that. How do we further our conversation?
Yeah, sure. Well, I thought we could chat about the ways in which organizations can take their event program and what I call disrupt it year after year so that it keeps it fresh, keeps it exciting, and really engages the community in ways that they may not be doing with their current galas or luncheon programs. So, you know, what I do, I have a program that I work with that with a number of different clients. One in particular is called Humanitarian of the Year. It just depends on which market you're in because that phrase is used quite often. But in this case, for this client, it works perfectly. And what it does is it affords the organization to invite an individual, a prominent individual in the community to be recognized for their work that aligns with their organization's mission. So I talk to clients about how they can really look at their organization and who are those thought leaders in their space that has allowed them to succeed, or those mentors in the business community that has allowed their organization to succeed, and really give them a spotlight as a thank you, but also recognizing them for all the breadth of work that they've done in their community to support the community efforts. And there's a number, and every community that I work with and organization really can identify a long list of folks that they would love to recognize, but also who has been really instrumental in making their organization flourish, but also helping other organizations, because you know, most of these philanthropists support many different causes. And what's great about it is you can not only support them and what they did for your organization, but I think it's a great showcase to share what this individual does with other organizations. Some people get a little squirmy about that and can, you know, maybe think like, well, we're fundraising for ours. But what I think it does is it really gives your organization in the community that you're confident on who you are, that you're able to put this person up on a platform. And it's really a great tool. And that's what we're looking for, you know, strategy tools to really increase revenue and awareness. And what that does is it brings individuals that want to support that individual that you're supporting. So organizations that they work for or support or sit on boards, they come to the event, and then that's your opportunity to loop them in,
right?
Give them a big hook, you know, make that that call to action, really get them to understand who you are as an organization, and really then it's, you know, your job to really get them to sign on and be part of yours. So it's worked really great in a number of different communities that I do events for nonprofits. It keeps it fresh. In some cases, one organization, they go all out and we really make the event all about that individual while we're still carving out time to showcase and educate the audience on what it is that they're doing, you know, with those heartfelt stories to tug at those heartstrings. So,
right. I mean, I think you're saying a number of things that resonate with me, and that is, one, you still have to tug at those heartstrings. It's one thing to throw a fundraising event that's just fun of, you know, full of good food and music and stuff like that. But to be able to compellingly tell the story is the thing that strengthens your own brand. It does not diminish it, even if you're bringing another community stakeholder to the table. Is that absolutely correct?
Yes. Yeah. Well said. So, yeah. I mean, it's really fun to watch it. You know, come to life. But what it does is it really changes it for your guests that will come and support you year after year. And it makes it interesting and fun for them because each year is different, completely different, because you're bringing someone new that they may or may not know, at the organization. For example, yesterday we just honored Jack Hanna and his wife, Susie. So Jack Hanna, known on David Letterman for bringing animals to his show for 31 years. And, but what we did is we focused on the stories that you don't know about Jack Hanna and aligning him with the, humanitarian efforts, that the, organization that I was supporting was the American Red Cross. And we showcased all the different things that he was doing all around the world. And it was really stunning to learn what he and his wife have done over the years beyond conservation, but really the humanitarian efforts that they've done in Africa and other countries around the world to support humanity. Because their belief is if you don't support humanity, then the animals have no chance.
Right, so, exactly.
Yeah. But it's a great tool. It's a great tool for organizations to consider.
Let me ask this question. So let's does the size of the nonprofit in question matter? I mean, should a medium-sized local nonprofit target an international figure like Jack Hanna for their events? I mean, is there a more appropriate way to go about doing that, or should the small to medium-sized crowd actually shoot for those luminaries and try to bring them to the table?
Yeah, I just also did another one here in Tampa where I'm based, and it's a very small nonprofit. And it was an individual that they recognized. We started that model with them just last year. So the second year, they were honoring an individual that really made a difference across the community here in Tampa Bay, supporting children. It was a children's nonprofit. Their mission supports children in foster care. So they really lifted her up and showcased all of the different things that she did, the breadth of her her support for children and families in the community, and it worked great. We sold out the room. We went to capacity, and we're talking, this was 200 individuals. So it can work in your community, I think. And what they did was we really talked through in the committee and threw out a number of different folks who they could now go to for year after year. So I think it's good to do that homework up front and make sure that if you're going to turn to that model, that you have, depth in the community to support, and recognize if you go with this type of tool. But the other thing is another organization didn't have quite that depth. So they're not going to give it every year, but they still like the way in which it does bring new folks to the table, maybe biannually, so versus annually.
Yep. I think this is brilliant, a nice way to do extended community outreach surrounding a specific event. I think this is good advice for any entity.
It helps build those partnerships too. I mean, that's what's come out of some of these events. They now have organizations that, when they heard what they were doing and what their biggest need was when they were talking from the podium of their call to action, it brought some new folks to the organization that may not have been there if it weren't for that individual being recognized. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have a couple questions, which we may choose to edit out, but the first one is, how much time at a fundraising event should a nonprofit spend sort of proselytizing, delivering their mission and trying to educate their crowd? And the reason I ask this is because, a lot of people who come to those fundraising events are already fans and probably right. already know. So, do you need the scrolling slideshow? Do you need the keynote speech that encourages right. people to give every event? What needs to happen?
Yeah, I mean, for the one we just did yesterday in Columbus, Ohio, was 25% organizational information, and the rest was about the Hannas. So that may not necessarily always be the case, but I think we probably would never go over a third of the time about the organization. We get really smart with the messages. I always ask the CEO, what's that? Issue that keeps you up at night that we need to solve, and we can help educate with the community. And last year it was volunteers, because it's a volunteer based organization. So we, this year, it was again a similar call to action of needing volunteers for those disaster relief volunteers. So we touched on that a bit, but we really choose, especially if it's a multi-layered organization that does have many different things that they do within the community, we try to focus on really one of those, maybe two at the most, but otherwise it becomes a little diluted and too much information to share. But like you say, you've got a lot of cheerleaders already in the room. So, but I do recommend that you don't ever assume that everybody in the room knows who you are. If you can really just make those the elevator speech, if you will, somewhere throughout the event comments, because more than likely, yeah, you might have a lot who know who you are, but we can always find information that and individuals that just don't know what it is that you do specifically. Right. So,
good stuff. So, Trace, when you're working with an entity, they bring you in as a full-fledged partner, like sort of a pseudo staff member. You get in, like you get in elbow deep with their mission and stuff like that. Even though, like in the rest of the world, I think what I would say is a quote unquote event planner does not, right? Is that a fair characterization?
That would be fair. And I have an example of that. I attended a colleague, asked me to attend a luncheon, and they just were, just concerned going into it because, I think the best approach for any planner that you talk to is, how involved are we as the organization going to be? I'm always under the premise it's their event, not mine. I'm there to support and lend my expertise and let them in the long run, in the end of the day, they get to make the final decisions. I can make all the recommendations in the world and support them. And I kind of become that little devil's advocate, did you think about this? And, so we vet it all through, and it's a very collaborative process. So I recommend anyone listening that wants to seek some support, really have those candid conversations about their process. The luncheon I attended, it really was, they didn't get information until the 11th hour. It really was a checkbox. We got this, we got that, we got this. And at that point, it's too late. And the keynote speaker, while was a national celebrity, really did not, and it could have been an amazing conversation, didn't hit the home run that they were spending their money on. They actually paid this individual to come. So, in my model, we don't pay anybody. Right. So this is a nonprofit. We're raising funds. So you really need to kind of reassess what it is you're doing if you have a large expenditure to have someone come speak at your event. Because I think there's another way with that model I just shared earlier about, a community individual or someone tied to your mission.
Yes.
I'm
always surprised when someone says they paid for a guest, because in my mind, the payment is the honoring, right? I mean,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's great when you walk away, like yesterday, and the honoree, comes up to you and just, had a tear in their eye and said that this was the most moving experience I've ever had. And it's because I would just kind of put myself in their shoes and think, if I could just see the last 40 years of my life and all the things that I've done in within that hour. It was an hour luncheon. We were able to capture all of that in short videos.
Wow.
Showcase the breadth of their work. And we had four videos, and that leads up to another topic that organizations really need to look at. I believe that these 20, 30 minute speeches are gone. We live in a Twitter world, Instagram, where we're just thumbing through on our phone. Our attention spans are so much shorter. So we break it up. So now we're in a point where we just do little snippets, 2 minute video here, 3 minute video there. We did the longest video was 4 minutes. And I think that was, it was interesting and it was great, but I would shy away from anything longer than that. So, because you lose them. They've got these devices in their hand 24/7. If they don't like what they're seeing or hearing, they just, they turn to them. So.
Right. Right. Yeah. We are way too distractible anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a strategy to kind of keep the audience engaged for sure.
So. My last question for you may be a very bad question, which is what do you think about sharing the spotlight with another organization? You know, we talk about partnerships across the sector quite a bit and from a programmatic perspective, but have you ever worked on an on an event that benefited two different nonprofits at the same time?
I have not, but you know, the honoring of an individual is close to that. You know, it kind of starts dancing a little bit around that line of, are we supporting, you know, so that's where you got to be careful, be smart about how you're scripting this. You know, I think what I would say is it just needs to be very, very clear on what it is that you're asking your audience to support.
Right.
From the moment you send a notification to a save the date all the way through invitations, post pre-event follow-up, you know, here's the how you get there kind of thing, all those pre-event directions. And then at the event, you just need to be very clear, the printed materials. So I've seen it done, and I think it could work, but I think it really is, you just got to be really good at the messaging. So.
Right. It strikes me as the kind of thing that requires really, really good boundaries.
Yeah.
But you say you've seen it done. I have actually never seen it done. So
yeah, it was an organization that, again, I think was a smaller organization that was being brought up by a larger funder organization, which was also more of a foundation hosting the event. So
yeah,
they just had to be clear. It wasn't really a nonprofit to nonprofit. I mean, technically it was. The foundation was, you know, you could donate to the foundation, but the foundation itself was supporting the smaller nonprofit and trying to get it some legs.
Right. Yeah. Well, Trace, that's about all we have time for today. If it's appropriate, how can a listener contact you?
Yeah, they can reach me on our website, which is eventdesign.expert. That's www.eventdesign.expert. Or my mobile, 813-340-4088. I welcome calls all the time. So if you have any questions, just need a little advice, I'm happy to do that. And my email is trace@tracekingham.com.
Trace, as always, thank you. This is amazingly good advice for nonprofits. And I can't thank you enough for taking the time to be on the Nonprofit Snapcast.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
And to our listener, thank you for joining us. We love having you here. Another great way you can compliment us is by telling your friends in the nonprofit sector about our efforts. You can always find more about the podcast at nonprofitsnapcast.org. In the meantime, have a great day. We'll see you again in about a week.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.